Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 19 of the People Passionate Podcast. I'm really excited today because today's show is an interview I did with Prab Kumar, who is a music producer, DJ, and entrepreneur who lives in Spain. He graduated college in 2008, and he did a four-year stint in management consulting immediately after he graduated. He left consulting after having an epiphany while attending Burning Man, and for those of you who haven't heard of Burning Man, it's basically a week-long event that's held every year in Nevada. On the Wikipedia page, it's described as an experiment in community, art, radical self-expression, and radical self-reliance. So pretty deep stuff. Prab and I discuss what it was like to leave the comfort of his stable career path and high salary to pursue something he was passionate about, but was a little more risky. We also get a little bit into the creative process, which to me was just really eye-opening. So if you've been needing a kickstart into your creative journey, this is the show you need to listen to. Check it out. Hey, Prab, can you hear me?
Yo, buddy, yeah, I can hear you good.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show, man. I'm excited to have you today. Let's start with 3 years ago when you decided that you were going to pursue your passion.
Yeah, so, you know, I was in Barcelona for a month. I kind of winged my way around, you know, stayed in a few different places and DJed here and there. And then I went to Burning Man in Nevada, one of the probably the biggest arts festival in the U.S., if not the world. And at Burning Man is where I realized that, you know, I just looked around me and I saw all of these really, really creative people and sort of what creativity can do.
I remember this. Actually, you came back from that and we actually chatted on Facebook for a little bit, and it sounded like you had this kind of an epiphany.
Yeah, it was just I looked around and I said, you know what, this is possible. Contrary to the assumptions on which I've been raised, it is possible to have a creative lifestyle, at least for a little bit, and definitely contributions to be made. You know, there's music coming out now. That's when sort of deep house, like this is so 4 years ago, like acts like Disclosure now are like, you know, household names. But 4 or 5 years ago, deep house was still sort of very underground.
Right.
There was a wave that started at that time.
Yeah.
That brought this kind of music into the fore. And I was just like, you know what, this is artistically, musically, like this is me. I'm feeling it. And if this is happening on a global level, then I got to get involved now.
Absolutely.
So that's what I did. And I came back from Burning Man. I'd met some friends that lived in LA, some new friends. They were like, yo, come hang out with us after the burn if you don't have to go home. I was like, for sure. And on the breakfast table of one of my friends in LA, and he's in Santa Monica, I remember just sitting there and I was like, all right. I picked up the phone. I called my personnel manager and I was like, I'm done. I'm leaving the company.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That must have been a really memorable moment for you.
Yeah, it was memorable, man. And you know, it was, again, like, you know, could it have been more risky? Yeah. I mean, I knew then and I know now that, you know, if there comes a time where I do want to get back into the business world, then I have that option.
Sure.
You know, as an entrepreneur, I've kept up my resume. I've kept up other things that I've been doing. So I've still been learning new skills in the business kind of sphere.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a big hang up for a lot of people is if they pursue something, they're afraid they're not going to be able to ever go back. Like the worst case scenario usually is that you're going to have to apply for a job and work that for a while again. Like that's not the end of the world.
That's true, man. It's something that, you know, my road since, I assume that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the call, but
yeah,
my road since I left has been really, really interesting and challenging in ways that I couldn't have expected. A lot of it, like, psychologically.
Okay.
As you know, so I what did I do? As soon as I left Boston Consulting Group, I did two things. I walked into the closest restaurant to my apartment in downtown DC.
Uh-huh.
And they, just by happenstance, they happened to be reorganizing their entire crew and hiring that day. And I looked at the manager and I go, right, I want to be a bartender. And he's like, "Well, do you have bartending experience?" And I'm like, "You know, yeah, I pour drinks at parties."
Nice.
And I ended up being, and he ended up hiring me because they were retraining all their bartenders anyway. So I ended
Gotcha.
up. So the first thing I did was get a job in the service industry because I figured it'd be quick and easy, and it would give me, you know, a pretty flexible schedule that I could, you know, which would be helpful. And after some time, after a few months, I moved home. I moved back in with my parents because I wanted to save my cash until I really figured out what I was doing and where I was going.
Okay, that's smart.
But you know, it was the right thing to do logically for me because I didn't want to be burning cash on an apartment, and utilities and all of that crap when I had bigger problems. You know, I had bigger fish to fry. I had to teach myself how to produce music.
How were your parents? Did you have the support of your parents while you were doing this? Like, did they know that you were trying to pursue music? You had just obviously left a pretty awesome job, working for a huge company. Like, what was their reaction?
Their reaction was actually surprisingly good. My dad did a stint in investment banking in the late 90s, and he hated it. So he knew that, you know, there are aspects of the business world and the financial world which are very difficult. You know, and so when I told him, I was like, you know, I'm trying to look for something that maybe gives me a bit more time to be creative, but he supported me. And I think my mom is really interesting. My mom has been this sort of like subtle champion of me being a musician ever since I was little. Like I remember I had a friend in I grew up in after I left London, I lived in Maryland and DC for most of my life. And I had a friend in suburban Maryland who my parents hated. They thought he was like a horrible influence, right? They're like, this is a guy that, you know, takes your kid and turns him into a drug addict, right? But this guy was like a fantastic DJ. He had really good taste in music, and he kind of like took it upon himself to be my mentor.
Okay.
My mom would drive me like an hour and a half, 2 hour round trip to this kid's house
Oh, wow.
so that I could learn how to DJ, even though my dad was like, I don't want my son being a DJ. So my mom kind of like, I think she, I don't know, maybe she saw that I had passion for it from a very young age. And, you know, she's always supported me. I think there are aspects of being and, you know, a creative person, an artist or whatever that do worry her. You know, it is unstable. You do kind of have to take care of yourself because you don't have, you know, you don't have like a lot of the structures that are around you when you have a more structured job.
Yeah, and I think just to tie in this the culture here, I think Asian families in general tend to be a lot more conservative too. So it's surprising to me. It's actually surprising that to hear that your mom would actually go through such efforts to support you. That's a really nice thing for her to do.
Yeah, man, it was, you know, it was cool. And I definitely had like a lot of conversations with her about it. You know, it wasn't, I had to tell her why I cared about it so much. And why I loved it so much. But yeah, I mean, long story short, my parents, I think they realized like I had been so autonomous since graduating college. I think they realized that I was, you know, pretty much just going to make my own decisions, and I was grown up enough to, you know, to see my way in and out of things.
Right. Gotcha. Well, I want to talk a
So.
little bit about the creative process and what motivates you and how, where do you draw inspiration from, stuff like that. Like, what do you do to get started?
Sure. I mean, step number one is waking up, which can be hard. I really like to, this might sound like corny, but I like to start as soon as I get up. I like to meditate a little bit.
No, that sounds great, actually. I was watching a video recently of A Day in the Life of Tim Ferriss. And yeah, he starts off with about 5 to 10 minutes of meditation as well. I'm sure it's a an awesome thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I just like it because I find that, you know, sleep is something that we really don't understand, and dreams and all of this stuff. Like when you're sleeping, there's all this stuff actually going on. You know, you're not just some inert rock. And so when you wake up from that sleep dream state, and I tend to have pretty vivid and interesting dreams, I like to meditate just because it sort of like it clears out all of that was going on in my head, and kind of like lets me sort of bring in the fresh air of a new day, or whether the day is starting at 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I often get down to work like immediately. And part of the reason is, again, because I think that, I studied some neuroscience in college, and I know that sleep helps to sort of fit the puzzle pieces together in our brain sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that almost the first thing I want to do when I get up is open my laptop and crack open the project I was working on before I go to bed. And I often find that within that first hour of waking up, I managed to do something with a particular piece of music that I wasn't able to really get before.
When you say before, you mean like the day before?
Yeah, it could be like the night before.
Gotcha.
So, I'll be working until 4 or 5 a.m. on a track, and, maybe it just doesn't quite have the right amount of energy, or maybe the sections of it aren't really gluing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that if I, have that like hour in the morning just to like open it and just mess around, even just without intentionally doing anything, I'm able to kind of get that glue that I was missing, or, find that chord that I really needed to tie in a particular phrase or whatever. So that's pretty much it, man. And then like the rest of my day, at least these days, is kind of all woven around my time in the studio. I try to be in the studio as much as I possibly can, with breaks to cook and maybe go outside for a few minutes.
Gotcha. So from when you first wake up until several hours later, or the rest of the day, you're basically just in the zone.
I try to be. Gotcha. And part of that is because I really subscribe to the rule of artistry that says that the more you do it, the easier it comes.
Yes.
And frankly, right now, this is all I'm doing. I'm in Spain. I'm very lucky to be staying with a friend who's, kind of put me up and let me hang out here. But I'm not getting any income from anything else. All of my projects right now are in a stage, whether it's like my entrepreneurial stuff with technology, or it's my art, my music stuff, or my writing.
Yeah.
They're all in a stage where it's just like I'm developing. And I'm really lucky that I'm able to have I have all this time to develop it, but I'm not making an income. So I feel like I owe it to myself to make use of this time.
Yeah.
To do as much work and to develop my skills as much as possible, because at some point I'm going to have to get a job to support myself again.
Well, I was just going to say, so you're currently you're not making any income whatsoever.
Currently not making, well, I make money from DJ gigs.
Yes. Okay. That's what I was going to say.
And then I'll do the odd freelance writing project, but I'm not pulling in a regular income from anything I'm doing.
Okay. So you've basically, do you view this as kind of an experimental stage where you're really kind of, going full force with your craft? And if that takes off into something that's able to support you, then all the better. But if not, you will go back to doing what you have to support yourself?
Maybe. I mean, the way I think of it is I have a goal with music. I there's a sound in my head, and there's a level of technical excellence with production that I want to get to. And I've come so far down this road that I'm not going to let myself walk away from this without getting there.
Right.
And that's it. Like whether or not it supports me, whether or not I'm traveling the world as a DJ or not, this is my goal, is to make the sound in my head come to life. Right. And, is that I don't think that's experimental, that's like a very definite goal.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think that's so inspiring, man, because, your goal, it's just something that seems like you're just laser focused, and you know exactly what you want to accomplish. And it's great because that's not tied to money. You just have a specific thing you want to do, and you're doing it. And you've come so far from, the very beginning where you left your job. First of all, you realize you want to do this, and then you quit your job. And you're actively pursuing all these things you're doing, and you're not even making, an income or a significant income anyway. And yet still you don't let that stop you and you're still going for it, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, it's like it's a whole different lifestyle, you know? Like I wouldn't have learned how to cook, and I'm a shit cook right now, compared to a lot of my friends. I wouldn't have even learned the bits that I do know had I always been comfortable making, you know, a good salary at a corporate job, because I could have afforded, you know, back in those days, I could afford to eat at nice restaurants all the time.
Right.
And now, I can't, but I can do something that I think is equally valuable, which is cook a restaurant-worthy meal at home.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I don't know. I see it's kind of interesting. I see a lot of like my peers making similar decisions. There's like this like hippie, like revival, like modern hippie, like modern gypsy kind of thing going on with people these days. Whether it's, you know, and again, go back to the data, right? Like Burning Man has had record levels of attendance in the last couple of years. I think people are curious about, you know, living a lifestyle that's kind of off the beaten path.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, the financial industry in the US collapsed a couple of years ago for all intents and purposes. You know, and the college graduates now are looking other places. Kids that would have gone into investment banking are now doing other stuff, you know,
Right.
potentially, you know, like stuff that they find more interesting.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be a sign of the times. So there's a particular zeitgeist, I almost want to say, where you know, like you said, everyone wants to cultivate this lifestyle that they can embrace and really enjoy. That previously was viewed by many as just completely unrealistic. Now people are like, you know, maybe it's possible. Just like what your epiphany was when you're saying, you know, I can do this. This is actually a reality for me.
That doesn't mean that it's not, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not hard to make ends meet at times, you know.
Right.
I mean, definitely, like I said, like moving home for me was probably the biggest sacrifice I ever made. Because it's just, I haven't, you know, my parents have supported me, but in most of my like lifestyle, I haven't really agreed with them in any way since I was 16, and that hasn't changed. So, you know, it definitely does take some sacrifices, and it, you know, but I don't know. To me, the sacrifice, that part of it, maybe the lifestyle part is experimental. You know, that part of it to me is interesting. You know, how can I live? How can I be happy?
I think that's what I was getting at was the goal is not experimental. Like, you know, you have an end goal in mind, but the lifestyle, you know, whether or not it's sustainable is a question that remains to be answered, I suppose. And that's, I think, it's, to me, I find that inspiring and I find that, you know, fascinating because I guess not everyone has, some people are just risk averse and they don't want to go into the unknown, but for others, and those others are what this podcast is geared towards, is the people that really are curious about whether or not they can, you know, find an elevated level of happiness and being able to pursue what they love versus just kind of settling for the comfortable and being complacent in their lifestyle. Cool. Well, I do have a couple of last questions. This has been great so far, Prev. I really appreciate you joining me on the show today. Do you have any resources that were really kind of invaluable to you, especially since you quit your job and just kind of with the creative process or moving forward as far as inspiring you to keep going? Like any, have you read any books or have you gone to any websites that have really kind of opened your eyes to certain things?
I bought a couple of books about music production, and I read about 10 pages of each before putting them on the shelf, and they're still there back in the US.
Okay.
So maybe that's just me, but the thing that, you know, what made everything come alive for me is was other people. I learned from people. I learned so much from people. You know, so much of my workflow now, the programs that I use, has come from advice and watching other people. But I think there's also a point where you just have to say fuck with what other people are doing. Some of my most successful tracks that I've released over the last year were tracks that completely defied what was popular at that time.
Sure.
You know, I took a riff from a track, you know, I sampled a riff from a 20-year-old track that was kind of trancey and like almost some would say cheesy. But I did my own spin on it, and that, you know, became like a an underground, like a small underground hit.
Wow.
And it was much more successful than some of the tracks I released that were more formulaic and, you know, of this moment.
Okay, gotcha.
So
So just kind of being original.
yeah, I mean, there's a balance between like really respecting and you know, other people and learning from them, and then at some point just being like, you know what, I'm gonna do me. And learning that balance is, you know, just you're constantly learning how to make that balance.
Yeah, for sure. What advice do you have for people that are kind of feeling stuck with where they are in their lives right now and just they're wanting to move forward to do what they love? What would you say? What's a piece of advice you can give for those people?
And people are stuck for different reasons, right? I mean, people get stuck for psychological reasons, they get stuck for practical reasons, you
Sure.
know. And it's hard to tease all that stuff out sometimes, you know. But I think the most important thing is just to work.
Okay.
If you want, what I've found is that there is no substitute for work. If you think you'd be a good music producer, start producing. If you think you'd be a good artist, start making art. If you think you'd be a good banker, you know, start like learning about banking, like whatever it is. There's no substitute for work, and the more time you spend doing the work, the more the answers will reveal themselves to you. I've had many, many moments where I've been like, "What the fuck am I doing?" Like, I'm sitting in a room by myself, surrounded by like buzzing equipment and lights, you know, and it's miserable sometimes. But I have found that I keep coming back to it, and I keep coming back to it, and I keep coming back to it. So for me, I have an answer. You know, I have an answer. I know that this is something I love now.
That's fantastic.
But I didn't necessarily know that. And the way that I found that out is just by working, is by coming back every day. And when I realized that I couldn't help but come back every day, that's when I knew that, you know, this is something I want to pursue.
That's fantastic, Brad. That's so great. This whole conversation has been just really enlightening. I think it reinforces a lot of things that some people might already know, but it really helps to hear that again, and especially from someone who is actively doing that. You know, instead of because people can give advice all the time and say, "Well, you should do this, you should do that," and then you look at them and they're working a full-time job, and not even, you know, kind of walking the walk. So it's great to hear from someone who's, you know, moved out of the country, pursuing what they want to do, and it's, you know, you're not even making an income like you said, but you're making things work for as long as you can. So this has been
Oh,
fantastic, Brad.
when I say not making income, you know, I'm supporting myself. I think that's one thing that we didn't touch on too much, is that, you know, there's the you can support yourself without having a regular income. And it's all about, you know, when I had a whole bunch of gigs in a row and like pulled in a lot of cash, I saved it, you know.
Right.
Or when I was working as an editor, I put aside that money knowing that I'd want to be traveling. And so it's, you know, like I'm not uncomfortable at all. I've had moments where I was uncomfortable, and you know, some extra cash could have helped, but I'm definitely not uncomfortable.
Gotcha.
And I think that, like, again, like that's something where you learn how to effectively manage your resources.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Brad, thank you so much for being on the show today. Actually, one last thing. Where can people get in touch with you or go to learn more about what you're doing? Because I think it'd be great for you to kind of link to any kind of web page or you know, something that shows off your creative work.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you some links for maybe to put in the info for the
Sure.
podcast,
Yeah.
whatever. But my website is just my name, www.prabkumar, PrabKumar.com.
Gotcha.
And for music, my artist name is PrabK, PrabK. So if you just go to facebook.com/PrabK, you can find all my latest tidbits.
That's great. Well, once again, man, thanks a lot for joining us on the show, and I'll definitely talk to you soon. So it totally sounded like I just hung up on Crab because he didn't get a chance to say goodbye, but our call quality started to get a little bad towards the end there, so I had to end it. But I hope you guys enjoy the show. If you want to check out Crab, you can visit him at PrabKumar.com. That's PrabKumar.com, or at Facebook.com/PrabK. He also has a SoundCloud, and that's SoundCloud.com/PrabK. And keep in mind that all of these will be in the show notes. So if you get a chance, you can go to the webpage of this post of this podcast, and you'll see all of the links at the bottom. If you liked what you heard today, there are so many ways to show your support. You can give us a like on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/peoplepassionate. You can also sign up for email updates by visiting peoplepassionate.com and entering your info on the sidebar on the right there. You can also rate and review this podcast on iTunes, which is always appreciated. We've got some great reviews so far, and I definitely appreciate anyone who takes the time to give us some honest feedback. And lastly, you always, always, always have the option to email me personally at kevin@peoplepassionate.com. I've said it before, I respond personally to each email that I get, and I'm always glad to answer questions or help any way I can. Thanks for listening, guys.